Hey everybody, before you listen to today's podcast, as we're getting into dog days of summer here in August, A, I hope everybody is doing well. I know this has been quite the year. And two, make sure, like right now, like stop and make sure, write this down. 212-931-5731. So much of getting the first mover advantage in my world, or to just get a random text that makes you feel better. I've been blown away by the random text to make you feel better, what that's meant to tens of thousands of you and how that's impacted your day. So if you want a smile or if you want an advantage, check me out on my text platform, 212-931-5731. Text it and follow the directions that I reply to you with. And I appreciate for all of you that have been on the community platform with me. And here is your podcast.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey podcast, Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is an Instagram live that Gary did with a fan where he discusses business and life. Enjoy.
I'm trying. All right, we did it.
All right, we're in the building.
Hey, how are you, man? How's it going?
Very well. How are you?
Very good. Super excited to have you. Thanks a lot for the, you know, this opportunity. I met you, I don't know if you, I'm sure you don't recall that, but it was at Le Web 2000, I think it was 17, 18. That was the first time I see you and I was like, wow, look at the energy this guy have. And the ideas that are, you know, not conventional, not textbook. It's just so, you know, talks to the brain and the heart. And I love that. And ever since then, you know, I've been a big fan and a follower.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's a lot of questions the audience want to hear, you know, and we want to pump them up. However, I just want to start with you. You know, how was your beginning? How was, you know, like the start? Because everybody sees Gary Vee today and it's like, wow, you know, I want to be like him. Or, but what they probably don't know is like, you know, the hardship that you went through. You know, you started in you know, an immigrant and a wine, you know, like a shop, and then you've done your first e-commerce. So you want to give us a little bit of a background
sure.
in there, just
sure.
so people would understand what we're talking about here.
I was born in the former Soviet Union, you know, so, you know, being a entrepreneur to be born in a communist country is very ironic.
Sure.
And, you know, got very fortunate that we were able to leave the Soviet Union. Small group of individuals mm-hmm. were able to leave in the late 70s. We were purely mm-hmm. lucky with having family here and political asylum and was able to come here. Unfortunately for my family, the late 70s in the US were a very challenging time. The economy was extremely bad. New York City was dangerous. And it was, you know, it was a grind, you know, lived in a studio mm-hmm. apartment with grandparents and with my grandmother and my great grandparents. And it was definitely a challenge. My dad worked every minute that I can recall. I really didn't have much of a relationship with him for the first 14 years of my life because he was trying to establish the American dream for us. Mm-hmm. To your point, I was a very street kid, non-conventional. I was non-conventional, pure entrepreneur, not textbook. And I had a mother that was unbelievably kind and had incredible emotional intelligence. And so I almost had this weird juxtaposition of like being street and dirt and a grinder, but had this framework of respect and kindness and gentleness. And
interesting combination.
It created a unique variable. I was very good at selling things. I eventually got dragged into my family's business. My dad had a liquor store, you know, merchant. Fell in love with the idea of people collecting wine, premium wine. Became deeply educated in that. All along the way, being a terrible student, no real university would have any interest in Gary Vee, you know, 1994. Eventually came into my dad's business, realized the internet was gonna be a big deal, and started an e-commerce wine business in 1997, which mm-hmm. went on to become one of the biggest companies in America in the wine business. That was my father's business. I obviously took it from a $3 to $65 million business. But,
wow.
But when I was 32, 33, I kind of realized I had to go on my own because I wasn't getting paid a whole lot and I had big ambitions. And I felt like I checked the box and really brought value to my father and mother.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And was ready. My brother's 11 years younger than me. He graduated school and we started VaynerMedia, which I still run today, which is an advertising agency, marketing mm-hmm. agency, 1,000 people, Singapore, London, New York, LA.
Big brands as well to work with.
Yep, you know,
top
GE
brands.
And Budweiser and Chase and mm-hmm. biggest brands in the world. And
yep.
It's a... that's going well. And then along the way, the two other things I kind of did during that time was I became an early investor in companies. That's why I was at Layweb so early on as an early investor in Facebook and Twitter, and an early user of YouTube. So at the time, Loic was, you know, I was one of the most innovative people on YouTube when it first came out in the first year.
Exactly.
I was being written about in TechCrunch, and I was very much part of that Web 2.0 movement, friends with Kevin Rose and Mark Zuckerberg and Saka, and a very interesting time for me, learned a lot. And then I became a prolific content creator around my ideas and wrote 5 New York Times best-selling books, became one of the more successful public speakers in the industry, and produce an ungodly amount of free content with really the hope of, you know, legacy, to be frank, my friend. You know, I'm very, you know, even, you know, I'm very busy right now. There's a lot going on with COVID. But when Maha said, hey, do you want to do this live? I said, absolutely. I do recall meeting and I'm aware of you. And two, you know, you have an incredible audience in Saudi, and I've, you know, my Snapchat 3 years ago really penetrated the incredible people of Saudi. But in general, I'm always interested in audiences because I believe in my ideas. I believe they come from a good place, and I believe that they bring a lot of value. And I'm proud that I'm not interested in funneling these people into a paying product. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it for my legacy, and I think a lot of people benefit from it. And it's been a good run, and I'm 44, and I feel the next 44 years of my life, I'm going to be able to do a lot of incredible things that will be very selfish and very selfless, and that is my framework.
Wow, it's impressive. I mean, and to be honest, everybody, you know, like I talked to was so excited. So you've left a good impression and a legacy. Definitely, you're still young. You still have, you know, like I heard in one of your talks, you're saying 44 is still, you know, it's you're not old yet. It's a baby, and that's one of the things we tend to live our life. You know, like we're young, we grow, we reach a point, we get married, and you know, start a business or start working, and that's it. What's interesting, you know, what you said is still an opportunity to try. And this is something, you know, what would you tell people who feel like, you know, I'm stuck wherever I am? You know, this is my background, or this is my degree, or my parents want me. And it's a pity that I see that, and I see a lot of them. What would you tell them? How would you convince somebody like this who thinks, you know, it's game over, or he thinks like, you know, although they have lots of ideas, but thinking, you know, it's not for me, I'm old, or it's game over. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that if they understand basic math, that they could become much happier. If you're 36, it is very likely that you will be living for another 50 years, which means that you are not even at halftime. And so it's very, you know, it's very funny. I understand societal norms. And by the way, you know, I'm from the former Soviet Union. So, you know, I'm an immigrant. I understand other parts of the world. I've spent a ton of time in the Middle East. I interact with hundreds of thousands of people a month. I know what parents' pressures look like to get a degree, to get married. I mean, to have a baby. I mean, I think about all these incredible female entrepreneurs I know that are getting pressured by their mothers to, when are you going to have a baby? You know, like, as if like what they're doing isn't important. It's crazy.
It's true.
So from my perspective, I kind of make them feel silly. If somebody's really pushing against me and they're really in a dwell and they're really sad and they're like, ah, you're wrong, Gary, it's bullshit. I really kind of almost insult them with basic math. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, look, you're 49. You're probably got 36 more years conservatively. That's the average in your country's age. There you go. But with modern medicine, the number keeps going up.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? Like, why are we giving up? And so, and when I hear it from somebody who's 22 or 25 or the worst number, 28 and 29, my friend, 28 and 29 drive me crazy because a lot of people fear that 30. They fear that 30. And I mean, you and I are probably laughing right now. We would rip off our arms to be 29.
Absolutely. Of course. Of course. And that's interesting what you just said, because a lot of people, you know, think they will get happy later on. So what they're doing, they're trying to work hard, they're trying to hustle, they're trying to grind to be happy later on. And guess what? That might not happen, because if he's working or she's working something they don't love, so they've wasted now and later. And I love the part that you always said, you know, what's really important is to be happy. I think that, so if you're working at a job and you're happy with it, fine. You don't have to. It's not like because he did it or she did it, I have to follow suit. But it's just what's important is to be happy. And I think this is something you always talk about, you know, the three principles of life. So can you tell us more about it? You know, happiness is definitely one, but what else is important in life for these young people?
I think happiness and fulfillment and joy and whatever word one wants to use. Sometimes when I talk, I see people like, Gary, it's not happiness, it's fulfillment. I'm like, my friend, we're talking about the same thing.
Same thing.
You know, it's funny. The way I think about that is I wish people spent more time with elders, not their grandparents, outside non-family elders.
Interesting.
Because yeah. I think I did a lot of that weirdly naturally as a kid, and I've never really realized why. And I've come to realize whether I'm an old soul, whether it was serendipity of where I was growing up, but it impeached an enormous amount of wisdom. Because what I extracted, and I'm talking about when I was 7, 9, 11 years old, a child. But I remember many of those conversations, and I was always attracted to elderly. And I was very, very close with my great-grandfather for the year that when we came to America before he passed, unfortunately. We were very close. We spent every day together. And I remember him fondly, even though I was only 4. And he was a very kind and wise man. And I feel like I extracted a lot of his energy in a lot of way. I believe that people are confused. I believe that they don't understand. I believe that they don't realize that there are unlimited millions of millionaires that are miserable.
Yeah, absolutely. True.
Three powerful M's in a row. There are millions of millionaires
that are miserable.
And I think that if people understood that truth, because they don't believe it, because when they don't have money, they're like, that's okay. I'll take it. But what they don't realize is they're not unhappy because they're not as wealthy. They're unhappy because they're insecure. They're unhappy because they don't have self-love. They're unhappy because their relationship with their loved ones isn't good. They're unhappy because they need outside validation. So they aspire for Mercedes-Benzes and Gucci belts and Rolex watches to close the gap of the unhappiness in their heart. They have complicated things when things are so simple. And so happiness to me over everything. I'm willing to make that decision at any time.
I agree. And I think that's if people have that in their mind, and I love what you said, whether it's joy, whether it's fulfillment, whether it's happiness, that's what they should see. So if doing their own business would help them reach there, fine. If making more money, although on the point of money, and sometimes you keep on buying because you think that's, you know, the happiness of buying lasts this much.
But it's like a drug. It's people buy things the same way that alcoholics drink alcohol or drug addicted individuals use. They're using it as an escapism mechanism.
Exactly.
And they're creating a new reality. Some people need to alter their brain to create a new reality. Others need to buy things to pose as if they're happy. The amount of people on Instagram right now that are making pretend they're happy versus actually being happy is extraordinarily high, which then leads to the insecure being even more insecure because everyone is creating these fake environments. It's led to a lot of anxiety. We as a society decide we want to blame the platforms. Oh, Facebook's bad, Instagram's
exactly.
bad. The reality is it's not the platform's fault. The platforms are empty. We are filling the pipes. Exactly. And I think too many people are filling the pipes with artificial content, artificial flawed information. And exactly. And instead of judging that and spending my time on that, I'm spending my time on trying to speak about historic truth in contemporary frameworks and hopefully impact a person at a time to change their perspective. Listen,
beautiful.
For the 1,500 people that are on this right now, the fact that we're alive, the fact that you know, look at the technology advances. Look where I am. Look where you are. We're together live right now for free.
True.
I don't think people understand how fortunate we are, even during a pandemic, even during these things. And so I just wish people took advantage and looked at the glass half full instead of the glass half empty.
Exactly. And one of the issues that people now are addicted to the likes, even on social media. So what they're doing is just posting to get a like, and they get obsessed by it, versus it's a great tool if they... And I didn't start posting videos early on, although I own several companies who work in media and digital. However, I was reluctant to do it in that because I was always worried, you know, what would people say? You know, what if I'm not good enough? I'm not like one of these, you know, influencers that I have. But then when I started posting, I felt so fulfilled. I felt good. It's not about the likes. And I love what you said. You know, if you look for the likes, then you'll be affected by the dislikes. However, if you ignore both, then you'll just do because you love doing it. And when I started doing that, it just became beautiful because I'm expressing myself, I'm sharing whatever I have, and I'm happy that people are benefiting from it. So
there's unknown truths, right? So for example, right now, DJ Ango Stewart said, Gary, you need some sleep. The truth is, I have Eastern Jewish European roots, and we get bags under our eyes, and I have no skincare routine, and my parents both went gray in their 30s, so that's why I look like this. Meanwhile, the truth is, for the last 7 months because of COVID, I've never slept more in my life. I'm sleeping 10 hours a day. So like that's that. People jump to conclusions, to observations with no context, with no understanding, with no reality. So for me, I'm not worried about judgment because I know that DJ said that in there coming from a nice place. He cares. I don't think he's trying to hurt my feelings. But I also know that nobody knows the truth and they're making judgments based on hot takes or observation or, by the way, bad lighting. You know, so like to me, I spend my time not jumping to conclusions. I spend my time focusing on what's the actual truths. And I use my gift of being a good communicator to spread that aggressively far and wide. And I'm going to be very happy when I'm 90 years old with the body of work.
Yeah. And if I may add, I think the other point that always creates frustration or at least anxieties is expectations. So one of the things I've done here is like, I have no expectation. You know, whether it gets likes, whether I get the numbers, I'm really not interested. I'm enjoying the journey. So, and the journey for me is, you know, to post a video. And at the beginning, I was very systematic. I wanted every other day. But then I thought, I mean, why am I doing that? I'm just putting extra pressure on myself. So the thinking today is like, whenever I get inspired, I go out and I speak and I do a video and I post it. If I'm not, fine, there's no expectation. And I think the part of expectation, we tend to be harsh on ourselves and those, with those expectations. So instead of helping us feel better, we sort of put more pressure on ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. One of my most important variables is my greatest gift is my inability to overjudge myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have real self.
Interesting.
If today I want to do it, if today I don't, good. Like, I am very comfortable in my skin. I have no short-term monetary or numerical goals. I live in my process. My process is predicated on happiness. I talk about what I want, you know, and that's what I do.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and that's what makes you, you know, and hence comes that my next question is like, you know, you're a brand. When, you know, when I started my agency, people were criticizing like, you should not overshadow the agency. You know, it's the brand, you're not the brand. And to be honest, I believe that. And for a while I tried to push, you know, the brand on the company. However, I see it's the other way around. You are the brand. And you know, like you've got the Veneer Media and you've got, you know, several other businesses and books and whatever. But how do you build your own brand? I mean, what does it mean to build a brand? How do you build a brand? How do you become a brand? I mean, people think of brands as products, as companies, as merchants, you know, not as people. While you are a brand with the words you say, the way you dress, I mean, you see it and you know, this is Gary Vee. So how do we do that? How do we become a brand?
I think it's consistency of what you put out. And honestly, when we use the word brand with people, it's just the current slang term we use for reputation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we've manifested it in the conversation to this term brand. And a lot of people, as you know this, they look down at the term personal brand. It comes across maybe lowbrow. You know, to me, it just means reputation. You know, how do you build a reputation? Through action. You know, through action, through consistency, through
being authentic, being yourself. Being authentic. You know?
Yeah, it's 100%. Like, and you know this because you were around when I kind of emerged. You know, there was a lot of people like, cursing is not allowed. You shouldn't do that. Or, you know, I never wore suits. Or all these things that are now normal today. Mm-hmm. I was criticized and told from a kind place, hey, this is not going to work. You're not going to succeed in the big business world by cursing or being aggressive or saying bad things about platforms. And I said, look, I don't know any different. I'm okay with that. If I leave money on the table, if I leave success on the table, I'm good with that because I'm not a good enough actor. I can only be me. I'm only comfortable in me. I don't want to think about what did I say last time. Exactly. And I also desperately understood 10 years ago that everything was going to be filmed and we were all going to live on the record. And I wanted to be historically correct more than I wanted to be conforming for some short-term monetary gains.
True. And you've attracted the attention. I mean, you speak the language today. I mean, you go on any street. I mean, it's just that's the language between every fuck and fuck. There's another fuck, you know. So it's again, people tend to do frameworks, and I think the frameworks is what keep us in sort of in the comfort zone. However, most of those who made it, you know, yourself included, definitely, and all the you know the all other big entrepreneurs. When I decided to leave Procter & Gamble and start my own agency, everybody was, "Are you crazy? You leave P&G and you do a you know an independent agency to compete with all the multinationals." But I think it's leaving that comfort zone is what made it. So. Is leaving the comfort zone the only way to make it? I mean, do you have to be different?
No.
Do you have to?
No.
I mean,
No.
Can you be in your comfort zone? Because I think you have to. I mean, all those who made it really went against the tide. Went against the norms.
A lot of
people today want to stay in their comfort zone. You know, it's what I know. It's what I like. Maybe they're happy. I'm not judging your happiness. But if you want to make it big, I think you know that you gotta go against the norm because that's where nobody went, sort of.
If you're talking about building a business for yourself. For me, if you want, like making it big comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, for me, my mother made it big. My mother lost her mother at 5. And her greatest goal was to be a great mother. And she did it. And she did it in a real, real way. You know, and she made it big. And so for me, you know, that's not going to get the attention of millions of people. But I definitely know it to be true. She fulfilled her big in the same way that I want to be so big that I have a different big. I want to make such an impact on the world through the lens of entrepreneurship that there's little fucking statues and I want my birthday to be a national holiday. Like I'm going for it all. I want all.
I love that.
All 8 billion people on earth to know who I am and be, you know, aware of me and take what is good for them or leave and not be interested. That's my big, very different than my mom. But I know her so intimately well. So yes, I think the way you're asking the question is very clear. If you want to financially and fulfillment wise go big, there's two ways. One way, you so understand the Procter & Gamble systems of the world that you ascend to being the CEO. You understand it cold, you like it, it's fun for you, you were a good student, you were good at university, you can go. The other way is more me, which is that's visceral. I would die in that environment. And you play outside of it, and obviously you build your own systems. There's a lot of people that, I have 1,000 employees, they will play in the Vayner system. I, Gary Vaynerchuk, would get fired at VaynerMedia, but I'm capable of being the CEO.
True. And that's amazing. Yes, this is one of, you know, like that's what drives entrepreneurs. You know, when they have something they want to do, they have a vision, and they can't fulfill it anywhere but, you know, doing it themselves. And I think this is wonderful. You know, sort of, I know we have limited time, so one of the questions I have, and to be honest, a lot of people say it's like based where you at is where opportunities. So for instance, you know, in the US, land of opportunities, there are huge opportunities. Arab world might not be as big, so a lot of people would blame it on, you know, like, yeah, if I was like Gary in the US, or if I was like you in Saudi, or if I was like I don't know who somewhere. Do you think this plays a role? I mean, realistically speaking, is a place makes a difference, or it's just an excuse people say for not doing what they're capable of?
Both. I think a place can and does make a difference. Rules are different. You know, it's harder to be a purebred entrepreneur in Russia because Putin doesn't allow it the same way that America allows it or Dubai allows it. You know, every place is different. I do think the internet is an incredible equalizer and has changed the game. And I also think that if you don't like it, luckily, in most parts of the world, you're able to leave and able to go to the place where you want to go. So, yeah. You know, I believe that the world is 100% how you see it. And beautiful. I agree with the way you're asking the question that people are creating excuses for non-action. There's a lot of people that like to come up with excuses to why not. And I always remind them, if anybody that looks like you made it, well, then you've got a problem. Okay. If you're in a small time town in Kuwait and you're using that as an excuse, if anybody in that town has ever gone to university in the UK, went on to become, I talk to a lot of people in very humble beginnings in the US, ghettos and negative places. And there are people that have come out of those situations and have won. So, or have been successful financially or professionally or happiness. So I do think place is a factor, but I think my mom and dad were born in the least likely place to build something for yourself, and they left and started over and ate shit. And so I do think people can do.
I like that. And I like to think of it as a soil and a seed. So it takes the soil and the seed to have the best plant. However, you can, you know, if it's a good seed in a not so good soil, it might grow, but not as big as when you have. So I always like to think of this. So if you're a good seed, find the good soil, you know, then that combination is the magic combination.
I think it comes down very, 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 very simply to accountability. The second you're not willing to be accountable 100% for everything in your life, the second you're not willing to blame yourself for everything that is going wrong, is the second incredibly vulnerable. And so for me, I don't like when I do bad things. I don't like when I do things that don't work, but I'm not confused and I'm not looking around to decide I'm going to blame my parents, I'm going to blame my government, I'm going to blame, you know, this circumstance. I think my accountability lens is my biggest variable.
Yeah. Beautiful. My last question would be, how do you keep on going? I mean, one of the things I face, and this is also coming from me, you know, I get excited and go, you know, and for a while, but then you reach sometimes it's like, you know, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and you start getting doubts or thoughts. How do you keep on going every day? Especially like you're always live, you're always on conferences, you're writing. I mean, if it's somebody like me who can disappear for a couple of days and then come back, I would, you know, that's an excuse for
me. You know what's funny? I disappear too. I just, if you look at my content from 2011 to 2014, there's very little of it because I was building Vayner. And then that gave me the dollars to be able to build a team that makes me more omnipresent. But I'm not always, I mean, most of my content right now on my Instagram, for example, is pre-recorded from 2017, 2018, things of that nature. I'm on when I'm on. I don't judge myself when I feel like I want to be off. And then I'm on often because I'm grateful. Gratitude is my fuel. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I even have a chance to be on. And I think once you become grateful for even the ability to maybe be on, everything changes.
Yeah, I think that's great because a lot of people would either doubting themselves or they start listening to the people around them. And sometimes, you know, some people are, when you get the criticism, it's one or two, just makes you, you know, okay, I doubt, am I really doing it?
I need to run to this client meeting, but my number one thing is the inability to hear anybody else.
Yeah.
Pro and con, my friend. Mm-hmm. By not hearing everybody saying I'm a genius, I'm able to stay humble. By not hearing that I suck, I'm able to stay self-loving. And in those two variables, the contradiction of deep confidence and self-love and humility at all costs, I believe is a bridge of incredible strength.
It is. Just trusting yourself, believing in yourself, and keep going. Gary, thanks a lot. I know you're busy. You got to go. Thanks for giving us this half an hour. It was really a pleasure. Hope to see you soon. And hope to see you in Saudi.
So it's 100%. Take care. Bye-bye.
We'll be in touch. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Influential by Panini Pete. Gary triggers your brain constantly. He got me always questioning my results, reasons, motivation, the whys, and how, most importantly, how do I bring value to the world? love his lessons and relatability. I'm a better leader, businessman, entrepreneur, and better dad. That's huge. Share with the people you care about. Thanks, Gary. Thank you, Panini Pete. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.